Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Maria Carmona, C-A-R-M-O-N-A. As you know, I previously evaluated Ms. Carmona as described in the reports listed above. Apparently, she is now a 62-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work in 2005, but does not specify in what fashion. She believes she injured her cervical spine and shoulder, but did not go to the emergency room afterwards. Period. She had further evaluation and treatment, including surgery. Period. She reports currently being symptomatic with a lot of pain in the cervical spine and feels like a nerve is moving. Period. Since evaluated here, she has not had any additional surgery. Brittany paragraph, as per the record supplied, Ms. Carmona received an order approving settlement and then reopened her claim in 2016, period. See, she presents at the Southern Ocean Medical Center Emergency Department on 8/5/16 with headache, vomiting, and dizziness. Period. She underwent a CAT scan of the head that showed no acute abnormality. Period. She was then treated and released. Period. New paragraph on 8/19/16. She was seen neurologically by Dr. Klinov, K-L-I-N-O-V, period. She related having headaches that started about 8 months ago and had gotten progressively worse, period. He noted the CAT scan of the head was normal and she was started on Furoset without any significant results, period. She also complained of right arm weakness, having had a cervical spine decompressive surgery 6 years ago. But since that time, she was having this right arm weakness, period. Upon exam, he found motor weakness in the right upper extremity as well as decreased sensation, the pinprick and light touch in the distribution of the right median nerve, period. Dr. Klinov started her on a metrol dose pack and amitriptyline and sumatriptan. Pretty also referred her for an ophthalmologic consultation. Paired to his other diagnosis of right upper extremity weakness, treatment plan included a cervical spine MRI and, depending on them, consideration of an EMG/NCV. Paired. Cervical spine MRI was done on 9/22/16, but not compared to any prior studies. For those results will be inserted here. But an EMG was performed by Dr. Klinov on 9/26/16, period. He wrote findings were consistent with moderate to severe right median nerve entrapment at the wrist. For there was no evidence of myopathy or radiculopathy, period. New paragraph, the petitioner then presented as a new patient to Dr. Mastro, M-A-S-T-R-O, on 1/16/17, period. She was switching from a doctor in Atlantic City, period. History was remarkable for alopecia, comma, chronic headaches, comma, vitamin D deficiency, comma, chicken pox, comma, right shoulder rotator cuff surgery in 2011 and cervical spine surgery in 2010, period. She, on this visit, was given additional diagnoses of adhesive capsulitis of the left and right shoulder, comma, right side of the lumbago with sciatica, comma, chronic pain, comma, and carpal tunnel syndrome of the right wrist, period. She ordered various laboratory studies and radiographic tests as well, period. On 4/13/17, she was evaluated for preoperative medical clearance on the left shoulder due to supraspinatus tear on 5/1/2017, 2017 by Dr. Wong, W-O-N-G, period. In paragraph on 2-16-17, Ms. Carmona was seen by Dr. Wong, W-O-N-G, regarding her left and right shoulders and upper extremities. Appears she had previous right rotator cuff surgery, after which she had temporary relief, period. However, she had not ever gotten completely better, period. Dr. Wong diagnosed adhesive capsulitis and impingement of both shoulders as well as peripheral neuropathy, possible carpal tunnel versus cervical neuropathy. He reviewed x-rays of both shoulders. On the right, there was decrease in the subacromial space on the external views, and she seems to have pretty good preservation of that subacromial space on the scapular Y. Left shoulder x-rays demonstrated no obvious fractures or osseous abnormalities. He referred her for an MRI of both shoulders, a course of physical therapy, and EMG, period. On 3-16-17, Dr. Wong performed a corticosteroid injection to the left shoulder. He also noted the results of her bilateral shoulder MRIs, period. On the left, she indeed had a torn rotator cuff and impingement, period. Scratch that. New paragraph on 10-19-18, the petitioner was seen by Dr. Jarman, J-A-R-M-O-N, period. He reviewed radiographs of the shoulder as well as an MRI that showed no obvious osseous abnormalities. For the right shoulder, MRI from 2008 showed no evidence of rotator cuff tear. Paired repeat MRI in about 2017 showed no rotator cuff tear with some mild bursitis and tendinosis. Paired his overall assessment was simply shoulder pain. Observe she seems to be complaining of right upper extremity pain, however, based upon the repeat advanced medical imaging, there is really no anatomic explanation for her current symptoms in regards to the shoulder. Her symptoms are somewhat atypical in nature and do not necessarily point to a true intra-articular diagnosis. He wrote there was absolutely no reason to repeat the MRI of her shoulder, having had two MRIs since the injury. He explained, even if the rotator cuff tear would be found on repeat MRI, it could not possibly be causally related, as again, they have a 10-year window of negative MRIs following her initial injury. Pretty saw no need for further treatment of the right shoulder regarding any injury that occurred in 2005. Her current symptoms are more likely related to her cervical spine than anything else, or possible some type of symptom magnification could be at hand. New paragraph. She was also seen there surgically by Dr. Mitchell on 11-14-18. He noted Dr. Lowe had performed C5-6 and C6-7 ACDF, as well as right shoulder surgery. He reviewed imaging reports dating back to a 3-10-05 MRI of the cervical spine all the way up through an MRI from 2-4-08. She did have interim diagnostic studies of the cervical spine and shoulder, Dr. Mitchell wrote She had shoulder pain and neck pain, but never had low back pain or leg symptoms. Paired out as such, it was quite clear that any lumbar spine issues are not related. Pretty observed Dr. Christini had recommended lumbar spine imaging and workup for her back and leg issues. Paired, however, Dr. Mitchell opined there was no occupational exposure that has caused these symptoms, nor any work-related incident that caused them. Paired, the patient was followed quite closely and regularly by Dr. Lowe, as well as other providers, and that was not documented. Paired, as such, this new complaint is not related. Paired, she could pursue evaluation under her personal insurance. Paired, new paragraph. He similarly concluded that her carpal tunnel syndrome was unrelated. Paired. She also was diagnosed with a cervical sprain and strain. Paired. It is unclear if she had shoulder pathology or a combination. Paired. She was treated for both. Paired. She did not obtain the improvement she was hoping for. Paired. That does not mean the treatment was inappropriate. Paired. She concluded she was at maximum medical improvement. Paired. Dr. Christini, according to Dr. Mitchell, stated definitively that the patient has adjacent level pathology. Paired. However, in Dr. Mitchell's mind, it was unclear where this statement is coming from. The patient was seen by her operating surgeon, who did an extensive workup, including advanced imaging in the form of an MRI, and found no adjacent level pathology when the patient was symptomatic. Therefore, it was unclear what has changed since the patient was seen by Dr. Lowe and placed at MMI for a second time on 9/26/13. Paired here, 5 years later, Dr. Christini is stating she has adjacent level pathology quite clearly and needs to undergo evaluation. Paired, he did not agree with this assessment and wrote there was no objective rationale to support this. Paired, physical exam. Extremities upper, there were healed portal scars about the right shoulder, but no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Paired, there were also old healed scars about the right thumb and radial wrist. Paired, she complained of tenderness with range of motion of the shoulder in all spheres without the presence of crepitus. Paired abduction was 110 degrees and flexion 105 degrees. Paired internal and external rotation was 75 and 80 degrees respectively. Paired adduction and extension were full. Paired combined active extension with internal rotation was to the L1 vertebral level. Paired motion of the left shoulder with elbows, wrists, and fingers was full in all planes without crepitus tenderness or triggering or locking. Paired manual muscle testing was 4+/5 for resisted left shoulder abduction and 5-/5 for resisted right shoulder external rotation, but was otherwise 5/5. Shoulder maneuvers, she had positive cross-arm abduction and aptly scratch tests on the right, which were negative on the left. Lower extremities, normal spine, cervical, active range of motion was non-reproducible. Paired flexion was to approximately 20 degrees, comma, extension 5 degrees, comma, side bending right 5 degrees and left 15 degrees, comma, with rotation right 20 degrees and left 30 degrees. Paired superficial global tenderness to palpation in the absence of spasm. Thoracic, she had superficial global tenderness in this region in the absence of spasm. Lumbosacral, she was able to stand on her toes and heels. Paired, she changed position slowly and was able to squat to 25 degrees, complaining of low back pain despite the spine being in neutral position. Paired, she sat comfortably at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed to only 40 degrees. Paired, bilateral side bend was to 15 degrees. Paired, extension and bilateral rotation were full. Paired, she had superficial global tenderness to palpation throughout this area in the absence of spasm, sparing only these sciatic notches. Paired, impressions. Maria Carmona has alleged injuries at work on 6/30/05. Paired, the description of her course of treatment over the many years after was previously documented in my reports. Paired, after my latest evaluation in 2015, she had additional diagnostic testing. This included areas of her body that she did not previously claim as symptomatic. Paired more specifically, this involves her lumbar spine and her head. Period. She had a new cervical spine MRI in 9/22/16. Paired in 9/26/16, EMG failed to show any cervical radiculopathy. Paired. The plan was for her to undergo shoulder surgery. Paired. I'm not in receipt of an operative report to substantiate that. Paired. New paragraph. The current examination found significant functional overlay. Paired. She complained she had superficial global tenders, palpation throughout the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spines. Paired. She had decreased active range of motion of the right shoulder, associated with complaints of pain. Paired. She had variable, non-reproducible active range of motion of the cervical spine, but Sperling's maneuver was negative. Paired. She also had inconsistent range of motion about the lumbar spine. Paired. New paragraph. My opinions pertaining to permanency will be inserted here as marked from my 2015 report. Paired. There was no increase in those assessments, particularly any related to this incident. Period. End.